Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
The love of the Father, that you will know how much He loves you and that He's for you and not against you, that whatever you've done, just go to Him and say, I'm okay. I'm okay because you're with me, because He lives within you, because you love me. And sometimes we go, it says that He's even through our hard times, He's there. He gives us a peace that passes all our understanding. So that way we know that it's going to be okay because He's there. Other than that, what can we do? We can't do anything. The Holy Spirit is there, and He loves you. So.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I might as well give you just a little testimony here, too. I was thinking of my mom. She was so awesome. She used to read me poetry all the time, and she used to, you know, create poetry too. But there was a time when I was visiting her when she was older. She was in her 80s, and she needed help. And I had taken a job in a bakery instead of my social work job. And I was with her in the afternoons because my sister needed to have a job at that time. So I said, I'm going to work in the bakery. I am sick of my job. So I'm going to go to the bakery. So I used to visit my mom in the afternoon and spend time with her. But at the bakery, I developed plantar fasciitis in my feet. Both feet were killing me. And I was so discouraged. And I went to her house the one afternoon, and she didn't even have to look at me. She hardly could see anyway. But she said to me, do you know what the happiest book in the Bible is? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I wasn't in the mood for it. And she said, it's Philippians. And I said, do you want me to read it to you? Because she couldn't see too much. So I read her Philippians, the whole book. And it just blessed me. And I was so blessed on the way home. I was like, praise God. You know, you just lifted all this weight off my shoulders, you know. So that, I don't know. She just brought me so much joy. And she was a wonderful lady. But this is so funny because I wrote a poem on our testimony. So I'll read that to you too. Our testimony is the story that is used of God to bring Him glory and to focus everything upon His Word. His Word will make us stronger when we focus on it longer. He's our refuge. He's our peace and our all. When with trials you're beset, don't with sorrow and regret ignore the promises of God in His Word. If we focus on the pain, there's no reward or gain. Cling to Jesus in the storm. He will keep you safe and warm. And one day it will be over. And with more faith, we'll discover we can do all things through Christ. For the storm will grow you up. Look to Jesus. Drink His cup. Anything endured for Him will turn out right. When we focus on His light, trust Him always, and someday you'll bring Him glory when you live to tell the story how He used you through the pain. Shine your light and bring Him glory as you testify your story. He is love, and He never lets us go, for we're His light.
So the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And there was a time in my life where I was a drunk and a drug addict, and nobody had any hope and would have ever thought I could have ever been anything more. And the blood of Jesus is my defense, and so my verdict is innocence. And I just want to testify to anybody who has any family members that are still out there that the Lord is good, and He covers them. And we just sang about a song, and she testified to my mother had a promise that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I want to thank the Lord for bringing each and every one of my family members home, because I stand in a spirit of prophecy, and I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. I thank you.
Well, I just want to thank God for being here. I love Pastor Henry and his family. They mean so much to us. We've known them for years already. But, you know, a couple of things that I heard today. First of all, her poem said, don't focus on the pain. You know, I like that because whatever you focus on is going to manifest. If you say, you know what, well, I have arthritis, well, it's going to manifest because you keep saying, I have it. You know, the truth is, if it's in your body, it's true that it's there. Okay, but the truth, God already paid for it. So if you stand on truth and stand on the truth, it's going to be gone. And you keep saying, you know, God, I thank you because it's not there anymore. Thank God because I am healed. And they're going to say, well, you still have it. No, I don't. He paid for it. I'm going to stand on the truth. It's gone. And I like that. And then my sister said something earlier. She said, she's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not just a temple. You know what? You're the priest, you're the temple, and you're also the sacrifice. You know, and because of his glory, that's who we are. You know, we are set free. I started drinking at the age of 3, stopped at the age of 7. You say, wow, that's crazy, Rick. My dad would love to get me drunk and put me top of a table so his friends could see me fall down and everything else. And then he'll let us drink during the day, and I thought I was really cool. 5 years old, outside with the beer and a sandwich kicking back. I go, God, that was so stupid. That was so dumb. I go, why'd you let that happen? But you know what? When you're not close to God, the adversary takes over your mind and you do stupid things. You allow the enemy to come in and do whatever he wants with you. And a lot of times we got to just ignore that enemy and say, you know what? I had enough. And I lived many years with 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I wanted the world, but I wanted God. I wanted the world, but I wanted God. Not until I said, you know what? I'm done with the world. I came in all the way. The only problem that I have now that I tell man that when I'm with him, I go, you know, there's only one problem about serving God. He goes, what's that, Rick? You can't get enough. You can't get enough because you know that there's more. You know that there's more. And as long as you let God get a hold of you, and once you come in all the way, oh my God, it's powerful. You know, there's a verse that came to mind when I was sitting there. And I was just thinking about the verse. I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about this verse? And the verse said, now I can't remember the verse. Come on, bring it back, Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not provided, but the vine is taken by force. You know, and that doesn't mean, I don't know why I'm saying this, Pastor. I'm just going to say it because the Lord gave it to you. He goes, I want you to say something about that verse. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence take it by force. That doesn't mean when you have a problem, you come and say, hey, Pastor, can you pray for my sister? She's in trouble. Can you know? And that doesn't mean that you go home and sit down and watch TV. And Pastor's praying, and you're sitting down watching TV, and Pastor's praying. What that means is, say, Pastor, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence take it by force. That means you go home and you get into your prayer room and you pray while he's praying, and then it's going to happen. So we need to really, you know, take God's word serious. I mean, because he's a good God. And a lot of times we're not listening. We're not listening. A lot of times he shows us through objects all around, you know, what we need. And we got to just keep looking and listening and say, okay, God, what does this mean? Man, God is just so good. Love you guys.
Hello, praise God. I feel like I'm going to explode. It's just so good to be here. The verse the Lord gave me is Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And the sky above proclaimed his handiwork. We are his handiwork. You are his handiwork. Me and my husband have gone through so much. But you know, on some days, I felt like I wasn't gonna make it. And then the Lord would take me to that verse, and I would just go outside and look up and see his glory, see his presence. It's all around us, like my husband said. We need to hear sometimes, but we need to see too. Because he is a God of miracles. He is a God of healing. He is a God who knows and loves you so deeply. Sometimes I really struggle with the way I look. But I know he loves me. And I know my husband loves me too. But I just want to encourage you to look up. When you don't know what to do, just look up. Look up, because he's painting a picture for you. And you know, this is only temporary. The troubles that we go through, they're just temporary. We're going through them. We're not going to stay there. We're going through them. And he knows everything. He's got it. He's got it. Just trust him. Believe him and obey him. God bless you.
Let's give the Lord a hand this morning, if we will. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the presence of God this morning. Oh, my goodness. How many know that God is good?
All the time.
Thank you, Kathy. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, girls. Thank you, Eddie. You're a good man. My timekeeper. If it wasn't for him, I'd be all over the place. You guys are saying, Henry, you're all over the place anyway. Praise God. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Folks, hey, lean in, folks, because I know that God has something for you this morning. Even if you take a little tiny piece of bread this morning, come on, that thing's gonna. You remember I guess it was it Elijah that he went by God told him go away by a brook, and the ravens fed him. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then the Lord told him, hey, I want you to go to this other place, and so I think it was an angel gave him a piece of bread. Is that right? And that bread carried him for 40 days to wherever he had to go. Folks, even if it's a little piece of something this morning, I tell you, expect a big piece. How many like big pieces of cake? I mean, hey, God's got a good sized piece for you. But you know what? Even if it's a little piece, take a hold of it and grab a hold of it and think about it. Take it in. Allow it to minister to you. Allow it to bring strength. Can you say amen? How many know the word of God is strength for you? Man does not live by bread alone. Is that right, Terrence? But by what?
Every
word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. That's the real bread. Can you say amen? Oh, we got to eat. I know you got to eat. I'll get you out of here by 3 o'clock. So I know you got to eat lunch. But the real bread he's talking about is his word. That is the word that will strengthen you. It will carry you. It will bring you through, like Sister said, going to bring you through. Because his total intent is to love you and to see you at your best. Can you say amen to that? There was something about that word in there. In his presence, we're at our best. Do you know that? When you're in his presence, I remember one time I had a bad toothache. And it was so bad, I was banging my head on the floor. Can you say amen? I said, man, the aspirins weren't doing it. What was doing it was me hitting my head on the floor. Boom. I go away for a minute. I go, ah, yeah. And then it started hurting. I go, boom. Isn't that weird? That's probably why I am the way I am. But I went to church. Bad toothache. And I'm standing in the back. I'm just sitting back there listening to him. And then he did. Anybody want prayer? I said, yeah. I got about halfway up that aisle. And whew, I sensed the presence of God. And it just, that thing, poof, went away. You know what I did? I started to go up and I was going to get prayer for my toothache. And it went away. I turned around. And when I got back out, it was like there was an invisible wall right there. I started hurting. I walked in there again, and it went away. So I got prayed for, and my pastor told me, Henry, go see a dentist. I said, okay. I said, but man, it felt so good. Let me just, when you've been in pain like that, a lot of you know that, but when you've been in pain like that, it just feels so good just to be that relief part. And can you say amen? That pain just drives you crazy. And so yeah, I want to see a dentist. I don't know why I even told you that. But I do know the presence of God is real. It's real. And I look for the presence of God. You know, you can find the presence of God in Safeway. You know, you can find the presence of God at the gas station. Do you know why? Because you are the presence of God. It's who you are. It's your design. It's what God designed mankind in the first place. To be at one with Him, walking and talking and allowing Him to lead you and guide you. Can you say amen to that? Oh my God. God has got so much for us, folks. So much. He's not kidding. He's not playing with us. He's not toying with us. He is serious about what His kingdom is. Can you say amen? It's a big kingdom. Do you know how far the kingdom stretches? We talked about this yesterday, huh? The Andromeda galaxy, I don't know how big is that thing. I can't even say it right. Andromeda? Anybody know that? How to say it? Terry, help me out, bro. Come on. All right. Anyway, just take my word. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But this galaxy's got billions of stars in it. We can see it. It looks like a star to us. Our telescopes can see it, that it's a galaxy. Can I tell you, folks, that everything that's out there is in perfect harmony with the kingdom of God? God told it to go out. God put all the stars in there, and they've been that way ever since. Can you say amen to that? We even, like clockwork, we can even look at our computers, can even see where the stars should be, and exactly that's where they're at. They can look back in time. I don't know if you guys remember watching the thing about the blood moons and all that stuff. You guys remember watching that? About when Jesus died on the cross, there was a blood moon. And they could, the computers could figure all the way back there to find, this is what the stars looked like back then. Because you can set your timing on the stars. Because all the stars are in line with the kingdom of God. Are you in line with the kingdom of God? Oh, that's what we're going to talk to you about. Amen? Get in line. How many say? Look at your neighbor and say, get in line. Come on, man. You shine like a star, but you need to be in line. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 5. Title of this message is kind of weird. Are you trying? Are you trying? Pastor John said he's trying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going, I'm at my wit's end. Yeah, no. Are you trying? You'll get it by the time we get around to it. But Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 43. Lord, I thank you for your word. Precious, precious words, Father. Father God, that can strengthen us and build us, Father. I ask you, Lord, as we look at your word today, Father God, that you would, Father God, feed the hungry, heal the sick, provide for the needy. We thank you, Father, because of all this, your word declares that it's you. So, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. And the word of God says, and when Jesus was passed, this is verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. And so when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers in the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at a point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, how long? 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Don't you love this story? Yeah. Play like you're hearing it the first time. Just picture this woman she's been sick for 12 years. Nobody can help her. Is that right? Nobody. There's no one to help. but she finds somebody. Can you say amen to that? Just happened. He's walking the streets. Can you say amen? Oh, man, I got to get down there. Can I tell you that Jesus drew crowds? There was a lot of people that went after him. Mostly because of what he did, because of the power that they saw. The demonstration of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Of what it looks like. She suffered many things of physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better. But rather, she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I might get whole. I might be healed. Is that what it says? Well, there's a good chance, man. You know, I've tried everybody else. Maybe 50-50 chance here. No. What did she say? What was her testimony? What was it that she said out of her heart? I will be healed. I'm going to be healed. It's going to happen. Oh, boy. There's something that's with God. Faith is like a great big steak. No? Maybe a big piece of juicy fruit gum. How many of you like juicy fruit gum? Anybody? I love juicy fruit gum, man. I don't know why. The other day, I just picked one. I was in the airport, and I said, I better get something, because my ears, they act funny when I get on a plane. They're bloop, bloop, bloop. You know, it's a little pressure and everything. So I said, I better get me some gum. So I grabbed a little package of juicy fruit. I said, man, I haven't had these in a long time. Put one in my mouth, started trying. I go, oh, these are good. I put three in. I don't know. It doesn't say on the package how many use at once, but I did three. Is that okay? It just kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed the gum. Like I said, I don't know why I told you that either. But this lady, the faith that she had, it's like God's looking, there it is right there. That's what we're looking at. That is what the kingdom looks like. That's what it looks like right there. Jesus, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, because we know Jesus knows all things, is that right? Maybe it was something for his disciples, but the way it looks, Jesus didn't know who it was, is that right? Because he turns around, who touched me? Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude wronging you, and you say, who touched me? Come on, Lord. Everybody's touching you. No. He was probably getting a lot of people bumping into him. But guess what? There was somebody that touched him by faith. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Who touched? Can I just say this to you? Write this down. Faith touches God. Faith touches God. He loves faith. Can you say amen? He loves to see his people acting and operating in faith. Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Oh, you're in trouble, lady. Woman, fearing, trembling, and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. And he said to her, daughter, it wasn't ma'am. Young lady, no, it was what? Mija. Is that right? It was Mija. Mija. A fatherly term. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole of your plague. Ooh, can you say amen? I'll tell you what. And while he had spoke, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, from the synagogue's house, and said, thy daughter is dead, which, why troublest thou the master any farther? Praise God. Remember at the beginning of this, this Jairus had asked Jesus to go to his house, but they're interrupted by this lady and her healing. Can you say amen to that? That's a nice interruption, is that right? And Jairus might be saying, how long is this going to take, Lord? I'm asking you to come to my house. And he said, you know. But while they're waiting, here comes this guy from his house and says, your daughter's dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Yes. We had this already this morning. But can I just say to you, Jesus listens for words. Can you say amen to that? What you speak out of your mouth, Jesus listens. He's listening for certain words. I'll tell you, there are angels that are out there that are listening for your words. Because God sends angels to help you. How many of you know you have angels assigned to you? How many of you know that? How many of you know we don't worship angels? Is that right? They are workers. Is that right? And they listen to what you're saying. They see what you're doing. Can you say amen to that? They might not be able to read your heart like the Lord does, but they see things. How many times has the angels have to go, whoa, we better not walk over there right now. Look at what they're doing. Yeah, no, they're acting kind of weird. They're acting not godly. But there are angels out there that watch over us. God has assigned them to watch over us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hebrews, you can read in the first book of Hebrews where it says that they are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, yeah. Ministry. Jesus listens for words. When I got the title of the sermon, I actually didn't get it till last night while I was doing my sermon, but I was talking to a young man, and he must have told me, how you doing, brother? I haven't seen him in a long time. He goes, I said, are you listening for the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm trying to. He goes, I'm trying to serve Jesus. Good, man. He goes, I'm trying to do what's right. Are you trying? Can I just say something to you? Relax. You don't have to try. You don't have to impress God with trying. He already loves you. He's already saved you. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't have to be trying to do anything. Can you say amen? Your position says more than that. Can you say amen?
Yes,
The position that God has placed you in says a lot more than you having to try to be good. Can you say amen? You don't have to try. He's already washed you from your sins. You're good. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, you should. That should be, yeah, come on. He washed my sins away. When I gave my heart to Jesus, he washed them away. Hallelujah. And they're done. And the Bible talks about the blood of sprinkling. You know what that is? When the death angel was headed into the Egypt, Moses told them, the Lord told Moses to tell them to take a lamb and get the blood and put it over the doorpost. Yes. And sprinkle the doorpost. And then with Moses, when they're out, they've gotten away and they're in the wilderness, and God tells them to sprinkle the items of the sacrifice. All the spoons and the tongs and everything got sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. There was a sprinkling going on. Let me just tell you what the sprinkling, the Holy Spirit, man, he opened this up to me and like, oh, thank you, Lord. I really need that, because you need to understand that the sprinkling that God has done, what Jesus's blood took care of, he bought you. And the sprinkling goes on into the future. That the blood of Jesus is upon everything that's contrary to who you are, because he paid for your sins. The sins are done. So maybe you step into something later on. 2 weeks from now, you get in, you do something, you cuss somebody out. Is that right? Anybody here cuss anybody out? My wife cusses. No, she doesn't do that. I'm just checking to see if she's listening. She's listening. Yeah. Hey, sometimes we do things that are just a little bit, we know we shouldn't. I was telling my son this the other day. I've asked God, get rid of presumptuous sins out of my life. How many, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Those are those things that you almost know God's not happy about them, but you do them anyway. You say, man, I'm covered. I'm covered with the blood. But I don't want to walk in presumptuous sins. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to presume on the Lord that I can do something that's contrary to what he wants in my life and still think it's okay with him. I don't want to presume that at all. I want to know. I want my attitude with the Lord to be correct. And I found out something. I can't do it. He does it. We died at the cross. And it's up to the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us into all these things so that we know and understand what he's actually done for us. It's a powerful thing what God has done at the cross for us. It's bigger than we can even imagine. It's big. and it'll take a while just to learn about the details of it. How he suffered. I mean, his body didn't just suffer. You know, the beatings and how he was beat up. He was worse than any other man. But he suffered spirit, soul, and body. His soul was crucified. His spirit was crucified. Everything about who he was went to that cross for you and me. Isn't that crazy? And it's going to take us a long time to get to know and understand. But we can. We can. Because he's given us something really cool. It's called the mind of Christ. Amen. We can understand all things if we'll let him talk to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep reading. When he had spoke, I lost my place. I'm going to start verse 35. Are we good with that? When he had spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Just believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, but Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult, and said to them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he said to them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleeps." Crazy thing to say, is that right? The guy has just lost his daughter, and he says, "She's not dead, she's asleep." He hadn't even seen her yet. It doesn't say he's seen her, does it? He hadn't gone to look at her yet. He just says, "She's not dead, she's asleep." And, you know, these people are supposed to be funeral kind of people. They're mourning her death. They're mourners. And they bust out laughing. It says, they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he took the father, the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered where the damsel was lying. I love this. I love it. She's not dead, she's asleep. And boy, they started laughing at her. "You idiot. You dummy. What's wrong with you?" Saying something like that. And they started laughing him to scorn. They were scorning him. And I don't know what kind of words he might have said to get him out, but I bet it was, "Get out. Get out. It's time for you to get out, bro. It's time for you to move your feet. Come on, Bernardo. Move them feet. Get going, bro." I can imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords are just looking at him. "Get out." They take off. There is an authority in the room. Can you say amen to that? There is an authority. Someone with authority. And not only is it over these wailers, Bob Marley and his bunch. Not only is it over that, but it's over the whole thing going on. He's got the authority of the whole scenario. Can you say amen to that? And he said, "Get out." And they get up and leave. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi." Which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say to you, arise." And here's an authoritative voice. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Isn't that cool? Ooh, man, look at this. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Her body needed to realize it was back. Can you say amen to that? I don't know why else he would have said to her, "Hey, go eat, make sure you give her something to eat." But other than her body needs to know, "Hey, I'm awake. I once was dead, but now I'm alive." I don't know what it was, but he said, "Give her something to eat." I love it. I love these things. Can you say amen? I love the Word of God, man. Yeah. Praise God. Last six verses in Mark chapter 6, it says, he went out from there and came to his own country. Look at your neighbor and say, "Own country." And his disciples followed him. And when on the Sabbath day he was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. There's that word again, astonished. Saying, "From whence has this man these things? How did he learn this stuff? Where did he get this stuff from? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Apparently, they heard about the works. Can you say amen? They heard about the miracles. They heard about the lady that touched his garment. Apparently, they heard and they were hearing about all these things. And then they say in verse 3, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Can you say that? Look at that word. What were they? They got offended at who? Jesus. Why? Because of the mighty works? Because of the miracles they see? You know why they were offended? Because he was from their hometown. Huh. This can't be. This is Mary's boy. You remember Mary's boy? Can't be him. This can't happen. Oh, man. Folks, people are weird. Can you say amen to that? I thought I'd get a louder amen. Oh, yeah, people are weird. Amen, bro. Yeah, come on. Amen. People get weird. They're looking at his natural side. Folks, the Bible tells us in Thessalonians that we are not to know anybody after the flesh. Our own brothers and sisters, we don't know anybody after the flesh. Because they are born again. Amen. You start looking at people on the natural side, you're going to get yourself in trouble with God. Can you say amen to that? Because those folks, hallelujah, they're Christians, they're brothers or sisters in Christ. You've got no business playing around with that junk. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a good word. Yeah, it is. Leave them alone. God will take care of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God will take care of it. Don't try to fix it. I'm going to take them Proverbs, man. They're doing something wrong. I'm going to bring some Proverbs over to them and load them up. Nah, man. Leave them alone. Now, if God tells you to take a proverb to them, it's a different story. Can you say amen? We're headed this way. They were offended at him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but is in his own country, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. Isn't that a shame? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, I mean, hey, God in the flesh, on the planet, right there in front of them, and they would not, because of their unbelief, let him do anything. He could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. I'll tell you what, when you're one of those sick folks, that's a mighty work. That's a big deal, man. Isn't that? Can you say amen to that? Whenever you're down and out, I mean, how many of you God has healed you one time or another? He's placed his hand on you and touched you. And God, come on, God loves healing people. Can you say? But sometimes we act like, well, maybe it's not this. I don't know. I don't know what it is we act like. But God loves to do these things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You just gotta wait for him. Just let him do it. And he could therefore do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he marveled. This is, you know, Jesus is astonished. Can you say amen? Folks were astonished, but now he's astonished. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around villages teaching. See, Jesus, Jesus said it this way, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is that right? So when Jesus marvels at somebody's unbelief, the Father's marveling at his unbelief. You see, unbelief is, can I just say that it's a dirty word in the kingdom. None of us should be walking in any kind of unbelief. All things are possible with God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All things are possible. Jesus came to his own. And what did they do? Man. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says this. He was in the world. The world was made by him. These are powerful statements. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and they received him not. Can I tell you, there's a danger to not receiving what God has. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this. He was... I started reading that one. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Who's the he? Who's the he in the scripture? That's us. The he is me. Say that to yourself. Say that to your neighbor. The he is me. He that believes on me, that me is God, but he that believes on me, the works that I do shall, who do? Me. The he is me. Is that right? Shall he do also? And greater works than these shall who do? Who do he do? Yeah, whatever. No voodoo, he do. Funny thing, we were at my granddaughter's. What was that, baby? Yeah, National Honor Society. She was in, and she was one of the kids in there. And the principal's reading off the names of the kids and telling a little bit about what they want to do in high school and everything, and what they were doing in that school. And she came to this one little boy. And he said, well, he likes math. He's good, and he wants to be an auto mechanic, and he's in sorcery. Sorcery? She goes, that's not right. Somebody knows the soccer. She goes, oh, I read that wrong. I couldn't get over it. And I go, oh, that's a poor lady. But it was a cool moment. It made the whole meeting go a little better. Can I tell you that laughter makes the meetings go faster? Can I tell you, even in here, the house of God, it's good to laugh. It's good to enjoy that, man. All right? But he says, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. When is this supposed to be happening? It's supposed to be happening right now. Right now, this is supposed to be happening, because he is on the right hand of his Father. Is that right?
Yeah.
He is positioned at the right hand of the Father. And are we not positioned at the right hand of our Father? Doesn't the Word of God tell us that we are positioned at the right hand of our Father? So we are in Christ. He's there. He sent his Holy Spirit here to lead us and to guide us and to help us. Is that okay? Can you agree with me? Is that okay? Last week I preached something. I think do not neglect the gift that is in you. And the gift is the Holy Ghost. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect him. Don't just push him off whenever he says something to you. He is here so that we can do the works, the more works that he's talking about. He says, greater works than these shall you do because of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's not man doing the works. It is the Holy Spirit doing the works. Can you say amen to that? It's not you. You died at the cross and he resurrected you, brought life into you, and you were born again. Is that okay? And to do the will of your Father. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What he wills for your life. Not what I will. No more should it be what I want. It's what he wants. I have figured it out, folks, that what he wants for my life is the best thing for me. He knows me. He knows you. Greater works you're called to. See, Jesus never had, well, the whole time he was here, he never had an identification problem. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew he came to destroy sin. He knew all those things. He never had any problems with it. So everywhere he went, he knew who he was. And that, I mean, sicknesses and diseases were under authority where he was around. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's just who he was. And he didn't play with it. He didn't take 3 hours to pray for somebody, lay hands on him for 20 minutes or whatever. It was just, hey, get your heal. Go. Just that quick. Because he knew who he was. He knew who he represented. I represent the kingdom. I represent the Father. Hallelujah. It's an unshakable kingdom. And I'm an unchanging person, is what Jesus says. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know he don't change? How many of you know he dwells in you? He's in you. You. Look at your neighbor and say, you.
You.
Look at the one on the other side and you say, you. You too. You guys. I love it. Folks, that young man that I was talking to, he said, I'm trying to be like Jesus. He said, bro, you don't need to try to be like Jesus. You are. You are the image of God on this planet. You don't need to try to be. You're already that. He's already done that work. I'm not going to make it any different for you. Yeah, I'm trying to be good. No, you don't have to try to be good. You're good. You're good. Didn't Jesus say this? There's none good but one. Is that right? Who did he say was good? There's one good. There's none good but one. That's why I tell a lot of you guys, you're a good man. But, you know, you guys say, yeah, you too. They tell me that too. Yeah, but nobody's ever said, but, well, you know, Jesus said there's none good but one. Because I've been waiting for somebody to come back on me like that. I said, yeah, well, he dwells in you, so that makes you good. Is that right? Because he said there's none good but one. But we are good because of him, not because of us, not our works that which we've done, but by the washing of regeneration of the Holy Ghost. That's making you good. I've told you before, regeneration is, oh, it's a big word. It means being brought back to mint condition like nothing's ever happened. Sin has never touched you. Mint condition. That's what regeneration is. It's a washing of regeneration. See, you're not degenerating, you're regenerating. Come on, man. Come on, you gotta hear this. You're not degenerating. I'm headed for the grave now. Now, shut up. Come on, brother. Yeah, come on, man. That's right, brother. Come on, man. Come on. We are not degenerating. We are regenerating by the work of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Can you get this? Are we getting it? Are we understanding what God is saying? This is my plan from the beginning, to redeem mankind.
Amen.
And folks, you're part of it. You are in this kingdom. This is who you are. You say, well, I'm trying to walk with the Lord. Come on, man. No. He's in you. He's everywhere you step. Where's Darren today, man? And we did a walk with me, talk with me. I mean, every step you take, he's with you. You can't be waiting for, don't be waiting for. I want to see him on the earth. I want to see his foot hit the planet. But guess what? It's already walking all over the planet. It's walking through us. It's who we are. Somebody asked me, are you post-trib or are you pre-trib? Or nonsense. Who cares about that stuff? I care about the kingdom in the earth. And that's who we are. You see, God is trying to bring this kingdom. And it's in here. But see, sometimes we're having a little problem understanding what this kingdom is supposed to look like. Because it feels that we feel like somehow it's way afar off. And it's not afar off. It's within us. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Here on earth as it is in heaven. The intent of God the whole time. It's always been that intent. That my kingdom, the expression of my kingdom, what it is now on the earth. Folks, we're in for some nice times. You know, I mean, a lot of people are doomsday people. I'm not much of a doomsday people. I look forward every knee bowing and every time confessing that Christ is Lord according to the word of God. Can you say amen? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says this. We went over this a little bit. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. It has meaning. It's a substance. And it's evidence of things not seen. That is, we talked about this, I think, in Wednesday night. It's an oxymoron, if you will. evidence of something not seen. Well, you can't see it. How can you call it evidence? Well, it is. That's what the Word of God calls it. But see, one thing, God sees faith. God sees it. That's why the lady of the man, her faith drove her to touch that. What's your faith driving you to do? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about your faith? Don't ever let your faith get shaken just because you didn't see something happen. Can you say amen to that? Because your eyes don't tell the whole story. It is your heart that you have a God that you know He will never lie. Faith is evidence. I've got in my notes here, it says, believe what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. It's not what I reveal to you. It's not what your best friend, it's not what your the guy that you like to watch on TV, it's not what they reveal to you. It's what the Holy Spirit shows you. Because what He reveals to you, He writes it on your heart. And you can't get rid of it. He's revealed some things to me, I can't get rid of it. It's there. Because He's describing His kingdom. If there's anything I've ever asked for, I say, God, I want to know about Your kingdom. Can You show me? Can You give me details? And when He shows me details, I go, that can't be. Ain't no way. It doesn't. That's not how it works here. Oh, that's where, how it's going to work here. Yeah. All the things about His kingdom are in this book. And He will reveal them to anybody that'll ask. But you got to ask. Hallelujah. Here we go. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says this. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Is God preparing things for you? It's not so much that He's preparing, He's already got them for you. They're there. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man. Do you understand what He's saying? The spirit of your spirit, you know the things about you. So you understand and you know some of the things about you, but the things of God, we don't really get them all. How many say amen? We don't really understand them because they haven't been revealed to us, but they're there to be revealed. So what He's saying is that the Spirit of God, is that He knows what God wants. Is that right? In the next verse? But the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
There's a spirit out there. It's called the spirit of the world. They think like the world. They talk like the world. Is that right? Don't let me catch you talking like the world. I'll leave that alone. All right. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, God wants us to know these things. But you're not going to get them through your local pastor. How's that sound? You got to get it from God. He wants to teach you and show you things. We did a thing yesterday in the men's group. We asked guys, tell me your favorite teacher. And everybody could tell me their favorite teacher. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
Terry? And they gave me their names. They told me their names. They gave it. And because I think even right now, some of you are thinking of your favorite teacher. How many of you guys remember your favorite teacher? You remember their name?
Gary
Moore. Yeah. Well, I will tell you that the Holy Ghost is the teacher of all teachers. Don't neglect what he's got for you. Can you say amen to that? Let Him teach you. Let Him teach you. 2 Peter 1:3 says this. According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many of you know this? He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that calls you to glory and power. Virtue, is that right? Colossians 1:26-27. Even this mystery, I love it. I mean, I love mysteries. This is a mystery. A lot of people don't get this. A lot of people in the church don't get this. A lot of people that claim to be Christians don't get this. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That's you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Where's Jesus at? There is no separation between us and the kingdom. There's none at all. It's here right now. It's within you. All the power that's there is in you. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this. Did I say right? 2:16, yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this. It's coming. He's coming. Hey, we ate for it. It works good. Did we freeze? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that? You have his mind in you. You have his mind. Can I just maybe give you, hey, walk over to the wall that's inside your brain. Pull a plug on that one, on your mind. Pull the plug out. Drop it on the floor and don't plug it back in. Can you say amen to that? Because you've been given a mind. See, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many want to be unstable? I don't want to be unstable. I need to continue to pull that plug. Whenever it feels like it got plugged back in, pull it out. Whoo, hallelujah. Psalm 107 verse 20 says this. Listen to this. For you that are, got a little ailment here and there, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Can I just tell you that unbelief or thinking that God can't do it or won't do it or anything that goes on other than saying, by his stripes, I've been healed. I am a walking testimony for the kingdom of God. That my eye is going to straighten up, clear up. Well, I will have no more one-eyedness. Can you say amen to that? My wife laughs at me. You know, she can stand right here on my side and it's like she's hiding. Because I can't see. I got no peripheral really on it. So I am a walking testimony that God heals eyes. Maybe it's not manifested, but it's coming out of my mouth. That God heals. He sent, because, you know what? Not because of, but because he sent his word. And healed them. Absolutely done deal. Can you say amen to that? Tell a couple more. I'm sorry, it's almost done. Romans chapter 8:19. I want to couple this back with that, with 1 John chapter 1 verse 11, if you could. Can you? I'm sorry, Liz, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but let's read this one while she's got. The expectation, the earnest expectation of the creature. And I looked at that in, like, in John's Bible. Yeah, what is your Bible? The what's your Bible translation?
Oh, the NIV.
The NIV. I looked at, you guys will probably know that I just love the King James, so I use the King James. And I do look at other translations. In NIV, it says the creation. Where it says right here, the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. In the NIV and some other translations, it does say the creation waits. The whole, and I like it the way it says when the creation, because it's telling us the whole creation is waiting on something. It's the manifestation of the sons of God. Is that right? Now I want to go back to John chapter 1, verse, I think it's verse 11. The whole universe is waiting on us. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own received him not. Can you go to the next one? This is it. This is the one I'm looking for. But as many as received him. Dave, have you received him?
Yes.
Have you received him? See, this is a growth scripture, if you will. You've received him. To them gave he power. Who's the power?
Us.
No. Who's the power?
Jesus.
The Holy Ghost. Amen? He sent them. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. Is that right?
Amen.
Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the gift, the power on high, the Holy Ghost. As many as received him, to them gave he power, and it says this, to become the sons of God. Is that right? Even them that believe on his name. You see, that Holy Spirit, that power has been given to push you to who you are. Your sons and daughters, you know. It calls you sons because it's Christ in you. Ladies, don't think it doesn't have to say daughters. You're a son of God because of Christ dwelling in you. And he says the whole creation, that Andromeda galaxy, did I say it right?
Yeah.
No? Andromeda galaxy that is way out there that's got billions of stars in it, that galaxy is waiting for us. For the manifestation of the King of the sons of God. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a son of God. Say, look at the one on the other side. You might not believe this, but you're a son of God. Believe it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Can you stand? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father God, that we are independently dependent only on you, God. We have found that you have everything we need. So, Father, I pray for everyone that's here, that's listening, those that will hear on the podcast later, Father God, that they, by your word, will understand that you've already done everything for them. All you got to do, all we've got to do is rest and trust you. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for provisions and healings and God, all those things being met even right now in the lives of your people because of your word. Do those things on the earth as you desire, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hey, give somebody a hug. Say thank you for coming. God bless you guys. Stay in the word. Stay in the word. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.